This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to be reading something from My Wisconsin Woods, an organization created to fill a void in supplying comprehensive information to woodland landowners. MyWisconsinWoods.org. It's a partnership of public agencies and private organizations led by the Aldo Leopold Foundation and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And on the website, it says, we offer free services that connect landowners to trusted sources of information, property visits, technical and financial assistance, and events and workshops where you can meet like-minded landowners. And there's more here. I'm going to be reading an article on this website by a woman who's contributed many times to this website, Denise Thornton. She's written an article about bats. Her article is titled Protect Your Bats. And in emailing with her, she wrote, please mention that this article appeared in My Wisconsin Woods. My Wisconsin Woods is aimed at providing Wisconsin landowners with guidance on how to manage their land renewably. I am an environmental writer with a blog post, Digging in the Driftless, focused on resilient living in southwestern Wisconsin, where I live and labor on 44 acres. A section of the blog is devoted to the building of Underhill House, which is a passive solar design. It's solar heated. It's a straw bale house with an unmilled branching timber frame and a sod roof, which my husband and I helped build as a laboratory for as many resilient materials and methods as we could squeeze into it. And that's Denise Thornton. I recommend going to look at Digging in the Driftless. There's a lot there, and it's a lot of fun to look at. DiggingInTheDriftless.com. You'll find Denise Thornton and her husband's lives and work there. And now, reading her article, Protect Your Bats. Wisconsin landowners who want to take steps to protect the wildlife on their property should not forget about bats. As the only winged mammals, they play a crucial role in almost every ecosystem on the planet, including in our own state. And quoting Wisconsin DNR conservation biologist Heather Carica, the 8 species of bats that live in Wisconsin are insectivores and provide really important pest control. Because they have a wide range of diet, they help control not only human pests like mosquitoes, but also agricultural pests and forest pests as well. They are good to have around, unquote. Wisconsin's 8 species include 4 who hibernate in underground areas to survive the cold winter months when there is nothing to eat. The other 4 species migrate to warmer climates for the winter. It's difficult to come up with a precise number of bats in the state, but those species who hibernate have been hit hard by a fungal disease called White Nose Syndrome, WNS, which arrived in the United States in 2006. Quote, it spread quickly from hibernation site to hibernation site, killing millions of bats across the continent. It arrived in Wisconsin in 2014. Since then, WNS has caused declines of anywhere from 70 to 100% of the bats hibernating in a site. Some species have been highly impacted, she continues. We just don't see the northern long-eared bat or the tricolored bat, Wisconsin's smallest bat, underground much anymore. The little brown bats were one of the most common species in Wisconsin, and they saw significant declines, unquote. We know this thanks to 2 citizen science projects that monitor bats across Wisconsin. In one project, volunteers are trained to use acoustic detectors, which record the ultrasound of bats as they echolocate. The volunteers either walk, drive, or paddle with a detector. Quote, just like you can ID a cardinal versus a chickadee with birdsong apps on your phone, we can identify a little brown bat versus a big brown bat based on their echolocation calls, says Carica. Folks have been doing these surveys for over 15 years, and we can get a sense of where bats were prior to WNS and what the landscape looks like now that WNS is permanently established in Wisconsin. There is also a summer roost monitoring project where folks with bat houses or barns, where bats like little brown and big brown bats are roosting, conduct emergence counts. These volunteers will sit outside in the evenings and count the bats as they fly out of their roost sites. Like the acoustic studies, says Karika, we can get a sense of where they are roosting, the types of roosts they're using, and most crucially, how many bats are in these sites. Every time the bats go back into hibernation in the fall, they are exposed to the fungus that causes WNS, she continues. We have a sense of what has happened to the little brown bat population across the state thanks to summer roost and acoustic surveys, and we can see some glimmers of hope. The summer sites that folks monitor have started to increase slightly. For example, folks who have been monitoring a bat house may have watched the population go from 200 bats to 30 bats in a year, and now it's slowly increasing and approaching 100, unquote. How landowners can help bats. In summer, when bats are on the landscape, there are critical habitats that they need to survive. They depend on a foraging habitat where they can capture a lot of insects. Quote, bats have high metabolisms, says Karika, and can eat upwards of 1,000 mosquito-sized insects in an hour, unquote. Bats also need roosting habitat. Because they are nocturnal, they need protection when they sleep during the day. Quote, they are looking for tight crevices or leaf clusters in trees. The types of roosts they will use varies by species. Some species forage and roost in forests. Some species will readily use artificial structures like bat houses. Some use a tree for roosting and might forage over water, unquote. Karika says there are important ways that landowners can help the bats on their property. Some species of bats roost in dead trees that have peeling bark or cavities in them. Keeping those dead trees, those snags, that are not a human safety hazard, will provide habitat. Quote, most of our bats use hardwood trees for roosts, she explains. Hardwoods are more likely to have those cracks and crevices or even peeling bark that bats are looking for. It's good to manage wooded property such that there is a wide range of tree species and ages. So, as some fall down and decay, others are becoming available as roost sites, unquote. Another way to benefit bats is to keep areas around creeks and rivers clear. These are both important migratory corridors and foraging areas. Quote, for folks who don't have woods but are close to water, consider putting up one or more bat houses. Little brown and big brown bats in particular are known to use artificial structures, unquote. Karika says the DNR has a site where you can learn about the types of bat houses and where to put them. Bats are long-lived for their size. Quote, while a mouse may live a year or two, little brown bats can live up to 30 years. If you think about it, they spend more than half their life asleep. They are in true torpor with extremely low heart rate and metabolism in the winter and are asleep for a portion of each summer day as well, unquote. Bats also have high sight fidelity, returning to the same locations every year. Quote, once you have an established colony of little brown bats in a bat house, for example, the same bats will be coming back again and again, unquote. The females give birth to pups in early to mid-June. The pups are flightless for a few weeks. Then they learn how to fly, and in mid-July they begin to disperse, but the females will return to the maternal roost and share the same bat house with a number of generations. Quote, because they are long-lived and generally only have one pup a year, that makes a disease like white-nose syndrome able to almost wipe out colonies. It's really hard for them to rebound, unquote. Bats often fly long distances from hibernating sites to roosting sites. Suitable hibernation sites in Wisconsin are a limited number of caves, mines, and tunnels, so bats congregate in the winter and disperse in the summer. Quote, that's one of the biggest gaps in our knowledge about Wisconsin bats, but through tagging efforts, we have found that bats can go from 30 to 150 miles from a summer site to their winter hibernation site, unquote. and some common misconceptions. Bats have commonly been thought of as being likely to spread rabies. Quote, the incidence of rabies in the wild bat populations is less than 1%, but that doesn't mean someone couldn't get rabies from a bat, Carica says. There are ways to prevent direct interaction and possible exposure. One is, never handle a bat, especially without gloves. If you need to remove a bat from the house, cover it with a box and slide something underneath it, and then release the bat outside. Don't just try to grab it, unquote. Carica also discounted the idea that bats have any interest in getting tangled in a person's hair. Quote, the reason bats may swoop close to your head if you're outside in the evening is that you are attracting insects, like mosquitoes and midges. These insects are their food source, unquote. If you would like to find out more about bats, these links can help you learn about bat reproduction, other frequently asked questions, and how to get involved in bat monitoring. And that's the end of Denise Thornton's article in the My Wisconsin Woods website. And these links are all on the mywisconsinwoods.org website. Another easy-to-remember search words would be WDNR bats. And you will come to the bat page, and there's a lot of information, a lot of links, everything you really need to know at that link, WDNR bats. And how to get involved in bat monitoring. I know that David Creer at Valley Stewardship Network is doing acoustic bat monitoring. If you want to get in touch with him and join the fun, it's dave@valleystewardshipnetwork.org. I sit outside on most summer nights and watch the bats emerging in the evening from the bat houses on our house, and I love doing it. Sometimes if I'm up early, wee hours of the morning, I can see them returning. A lot of fun to have bats around, and it's a lot of fun to make bat houses. Another interesting organization that you might want to look up is Bat Conservation International. And the website for Bat Conservation International is batcon.org, batcon.org. They have a very extensive website, lots of plans for building bat boxes, lots of information about bats, all kinds of different species. They're down in Austin, Texas. That organization was started by a biologist who worked at the Milwaukee Public Museum, Merlin Tuttle. So we have Wisconsin Link, a strong one, with Bat Conservation International. So I hope you see lots of bats this summer. I also wanted to read a little bit of Heather Carica's email that summarized what they call the pre-volency count that they ask the people who are counting their roosts to do at a certain date before the babies are born. That pre-volency means before the babies are born. And this is dated the June 13th. This is her report on the records that she got, the numbers that she got from the counters. It gives me great pleasure and pride to report the results of the first 2025 Great Wisconsin Bat Count. Nearly 150 community scientists surveyed bat roosts across the state last weekend and conducted an important inventory of bats during the pre-volency period. We continue to get exciting results from these statewide counts. This June, more little brown bats were counted than during any other pre-volency survey, including before white nose syndrome got to Wisconsin. We also observed tricolored bats at two roosts this month, including one site where we haven't seen bats for a few years. Without further ado, here are the 2025 pre-volency Great Wisconsin Bat Count numbers. 2,541 big brown bats at 72 sites, 12,851 little brown bats at 48 sites, and 5 tricolored bats at 2 sites. We may still have a couple large little brown bat sites yet to report, so I expect that number will be even more impressive once we get those. Our largest little brown bat roosts have yet to reach pre-white nose syndrome numbers, but several are darn close. Most of the smaller roosts don't seem to be growing quite as fast as the largest colonies, but the great news is that there are still bats in almost all little brown bat roosts, and there are lots of them. We'll continue to watch little brown roost numbers to investigate how the species is possibly recovering from WNS and whether we reach new carrying capacities for the site. We're still cautiously optimistic about how little brown bats are faring in Wisconsin post-white-nose syndrome impacts. And that's part of the report on the recent prevalency bat count done here in Wisconsin. Heather would welcome anybody who's interested in counting over the summer. You don't have to do it every night or every other night like I do. You certainly don't have to do that. But there are two important weekends, the prevalency count and the postvalency count, that they really would love it if you would count your bats. And if you want to get in touch with Heather and get involved in counting your bats, her email address is heather.carica@wisconsin.gov. I'll spell that for you. Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R dot Carica is K-A-A-R-A-K-K-A. I'll do that one more time. K-A-A-R-A-K-K-A. @wisconsin.gov, and she's the person to email about getting involved in the counting periods during each summer. All that is important data, and you'll be a citizen scientist. It's so much fun to sit outside and watch them. I just love it. It's fun to build bat houses. The whole thing is quite enjoyable. And as I said a few weeks ago, if you've built bat houses and they haven't been used, I urge you to be very, very patient. I almost guarantee that eventually you will find bats are using those houses. Don't give up. So don't forget to look up Denise Thornton's very interesting blog, Digging in the Driftless, and look up some of her other articles that appear on mywisconsinwoods.org. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.